Okay, well, I hope these almost a bit of a rambling speaking was useful to us. So maybe with the remaining probably like 30 minutes, I'll finish this outline and then with a little conclusion. Number five, we come now to Roman five. We need to see how the elderly saints can function in the new way. Again, the new way is equivalent to the so-called God-ordained way. And we don't have time to get into that. I assume that most of us are familiar with that. But I must say that these days there is also a strong burden arising that we need to be refreshed with that. And after all, it's God-ordained, right? This is not a human way. This is Christianity way or the natural way to build up the church, to have our church life. It is the scriptural way, the God, divinely revealed way, and hence the God-ordained way. There are too many books and materials on this subject. But we're here to see how the older saints can function in that. So really, in a sense, the older saints are no different than the younger saints in this sense. We're not different. Sometimes we let age to, be too much of a factor. Too much of a factor. It is a factor, an important factor, but too much. We are still just saints. And as long as the Lord supply us with health and vitality, we are just like any saint functioning to build up the body of Christ where we are. But in some particular way that befits our age and that matches where we are in our particular station in life. And this is really the thrust of our burden for having these meetings. A, the elderly saints can coordinate with the young people and make up their lack. No, just made my point. The elderly saints can actually coordinate with the young people. So you say, well, the young people do their thing, we do our thing. There comes time. Often it's necessary for the older saints and the younger saints to directly coordinate. Is it possible? It is possible. It's even necessary. But each knowing their place, their position, their role, their strength and weaknesses, and so they can coordinate together, right? A lot of times it's a wonderful view to see a grandpa and a grandson. I have a picture that was taken some years back. My oldest, I think, grandson of me, holding his hand. This is 10 years ago, or 8 years ago, whatever. On the lawn, and it was quite a memorable photograph. I like it, not because I'm there, but because my grandson was there with me, and we weren't coordinating to do anything except walking. But look, I mean, this is a beautiful picture of how the ages need each other, different age groups, and even work together. Today, this is another thing that the enemy is doing is to divide. The enemy's work is just to divide. Is to divide the age brackets, too much. We have a family, brothers and sisters. We are a family. I need my grandson, and my grandson needs me. I have a role to play, and he has a role to play. When I'm with him, I feel young. I feel youthful. I feel hopeful, right? I have to get out of myself, am I right? And even the grandpa instincts kick in, right? All those are good things. And for him, he feels probably very secure holding the hand of an old man who has happened to be his grandfather, and he has something to look to and learn and whatever. And we're bonding, to use the human term, which is very important in family life, even generational bonding. So in the church life, we need to bond. We have our, you know, the bond of peace. Am I right? We have in Ephesians, across the generations, across the age groups, and not be so segregated. You know, not even separated, but segregated. You know, we're old, you're young, and you do your thing. No. We're a family. We're one. We should be together. Right? There are times that we should be separated so we don't step on each other's toes. But there are absolutely times that we can even cooperate with the young people to make up their lack. They have some lack. They have some needs. And so we make that up. One, in contacting people, the young people may be unable to handle the new one's problems regarding the family, finances, marriage, and children. If the elderly saints coordinate with the young people and occasionally go out with them, when the new ones raise questions related to human life, the elder saints will be able to render help to them. This is a desperate need. This happens all the time. You know, we have these, you know, I don't go to the campus anymore to contact people. Just not right. Something wrong with that picture, you know. But the students bring their friends to my house, okay? That's a different story. Now they're in my territory. Now they eat my food, okay? Now I have certain rights over them, right? To care for them. And so they have family troubles. They have, you know, this is real. And they have financial challenges. They have different needs. And then we and the students, their peers, don't know how to handle them. They themselves have problems. So it's up to the older saints, in their wisdom and with their learning and with love, and sometimes even with some tough love, if I may say so, we can answer their questions. We can advise them. We can help them, render help to them. This is a great need, cross-generational, great need. And so to have your homes open to entertain these younger people, they can come there any time and just even receive a word of wisdom from you. It's huge. That's what builds a family. That's what builds a church. That's how we even gain young people. You know, in my case, mostly the college age. Today, many years later, saints who have been through our house and received some help this way still come up to us in conferences. I don't even remember their names, to tell you the truth. But they said, you said this, or your wife said that, or, I forgot. I just forgot about it. But to them, it's like that changed their life, you know, that changed their life trajectory, that met a great need at the, at the very difficult moment in their lives. And, you know, the young people, they face challenges. And today, if we're not proactive to help them, they don't know what's up or down, you know, with all the stuff they get in school and from their professors and crazy stuff. They need some people who know what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong. Everything is relative out there, right? No, God is not relative. God is absolute. It's black and white, it's light and darkness. It's righteousness versus lawlessness. So they don't have that. They sometimes even they don't get that from their parents. Today, the parents themselves lost that. They don't have the way to raise up their children in this kind of manner, not to mention even godly things, right? Spiritual things. The Lord, marriage, of course, and on and on and on. You know, how many couples we helped and, you know, served. Lost count. Some with, you know, garden variety issues, but others with some pretty serious stuff. And so they don't know what to do. We don't have a marriage counseling department in the church life. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have so much that we can help to fill in the lack, huh? To make up the lack. Two, if the elderly saints coordinate with the younger saints and completely blend with them, I like that, blend with them as one, I just like this. This will give people a very good impression and will cause them to respect us and sense that God is truly in our midst. So many, because of this experience in our homes, they find that our church is not just so spiritual and so, you know, strange, whatever. They will find these people are so normal. They're not angels, right? They're human beings. They talk about their own problems. They're married. They have children. They have grandkids. They go through things just like we do, but they have the Lord. You know, they can help me. And I tell you today, this kind of all-round, balanced, divinely human counseling is hard to find. Hard to find. Some even with certain psychological issues and, you know, in today's age. Brothers and sisters, we need to continue actually to learn. We need to even be more and more having some continual education ourselves. All right? Once upon a time, we consider, you know, mental case, mental problems. We don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. We just pray. Yes, we still have to pray. But now mental health is a big, big field, a real important field that affects and even ravage lives, young lives, all kind of ages. And so, you know, how do we help people? And just being spiritual is not enough. We need to be human, practically spiritual. We need to be divinely human. We need to be Jesusly human in many things, all right? And be very careful, saints, when you advise someone wrong, that's serious. That is serious. So we should not just go around dispensing opinions and prescriptions and be very, very careful, all right? You're talking about a life. You don't play with a life. And this forces us to pray, this forces us to deliberate, this forces us to learn, all right, how to help. There are times that it is beyond you, and so don't assume you can do it. You need to refer them to others who are able to do that. A lot of fine points to learn, even at our age, in order that we can help the younger ones, all right? And of course, we need to know how to blend with them. Don't sell your oldness. Please don't do that. You're old and that's good enough. We all know that, right? No need to sell it. You know, don't stake your seniority like a flag or something. You are just what you are. That's good enough. You know, when your shepherding is effective, they know. You don't need to claim anything. You don't need to, you know, show all your medals. You know, no need to do that, right? They just need a warm parent, some warm parents and grandparents that knows their case, that would not judge and condemn them, but rather would take them under our wings with a lot of love, and I say a lot of tough love sometimes, for their good. Okay, B, the elderly saints can take care of the students, high school students, college-age students, grad school students. One, if we can bring students in, the elderly saints can contact them in the meetings and invite them to their homes for meals so that the students can enjoy the warmth and taste of the family. Today, the society is littered with broken homes, littered with broken homes. One out of every two marriage, actually more than one, ends up in divorce. And the top cause of all kinds of problems in society, especially with young people, are broken families, broken homes, divorced parents, single parent families, all kinds of problems, you name it, drugs, addictions, crime, mental disorders. Have the context of broken homes, so they don't even have the chance to grow up in a normal family, right? And we can provide that, brothers and sisters, and we should provide that. I mean, we should be a safe haven for them. We should be a harbor, for they can dock their ship. They should be a few years in their college life, they would find shelter. They would learn what is to be human, what is to be a man, what is to be a woman. Needless to say, what is to be a Christian? What is to be a productive citizen in society? What is to have a proper marriage? What is to have a proper career? These very inordinately human things, you'd be surprised how much the young people of today misses or got really, really bad advices. I need not say morality, values. It's just non-existent almost. And even down to their health, their own health. And we have saints who help young people with their homework. Yeah, yeah. And that gains them. Brothers and sisters, so if we are like this, we will gain increase. We will spontaneously bear fruit. And this is something that young people cannot do, their peers cannot do. But older saints, we can do. It's really sad when older saints cannot do this. So we need the Lord. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord to transform us. We need the Lord to sober us up. We need a charge from the Lord to do just this, to have this kind of service in our old life. Okay, B, the elderly saints can take care of the students. One, if we can, I read that already, right? Oh, here we go. If we can bring students in, the elderly saints can contact them in the meetings and invite them to their homes for meals so that the students can enjoy the, oh, I read that already. This will be more helpful than speaking several messages to them. Young people, they don't need too many messages, doctrines, teachings. Sometimes they get overwhelmed. They need just a dad. They need a mom. They need a grandpa. They need a normal, healthy grandma, you know. They need someone to say, attaboy. They need someone to encourage them. They need someone to lift them up. You know, they need someone to put salve on their wounds, to pour some oil and wine. That's what they need, along with, of course, so many wonderful riches of Christ. Two, moreover, some of these students may be weak physically, may have done something wrong, or may have encountered some frustrations. If the elderly saints take care of them, comfort them like fathers and mothers, and express the warmth of the church to them, these students will remain in the church life as a normal result. As a normal result. Sure, they need revelation, they need to see visions, right? Yeah. Acts. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Sure, they need to see visions. But they are still humanly immature. They're still in a growing up process. And here you have a chance. Maybe even for some who never had children, some of us, we have a chance to raise up a spiritual child in the Lord. You know, in Timothy's especially, or even Peter somewhere, talking about John Mark. But in the T books, Paul, one in first two chapters, in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, talking about two Timothy, my genuine child in the Lord, my beloved child in the Lord. And same thing to Titus. Paul is really not in a religion. Paul is in the family. He just cares for kids, children. Even with Timothy, a young co-worker, doing all kinds of things, still his child, still under his oversight and perfecting. Not just as a co-worker, but as a child, as a child. How many children do you have spiritually? Brother Lee once said, he said, physical children is a blessing, but spiritual children is a greater blessing. How many spiritual, whether you have physical children is not as important that you have spiritual children. And we can all beget and raise up children in the Lord. Let me tell you, they become your lifelong children. You know, people who come back to meet with us or still we still have contact with, the feeling is still parental on my wife and my side. And on their side, even though they now have married kids, also they still feel, you know what I mean? Like in the family, that they are the children. And now they have their own children, so they become, you know, the parents. And so successively, spiritually, generation by generation, that's how the church life goes on, how we perpetuate, how the recovery advances. What a job, what work that we have. I hope, brothers and sisters, we will adopt a brand new view. You know, I'm a co-worker, but let me tell you, that's in a way just a name. It's not important. I mean, I can put a big sign, I print a t-shirt, I am a co-worker. It means nothing. If I am, I am. If I'm not, I'm not. And as I'm getting older, I am reassessing who I am at this age, how I should adjust myself, I should change myself to serve still, but in a different way, in an adjusted way that fits my, you know, my station in life. And this is normal. This is a healthy reassessment, right? We actually need just more parents and grandparents in the church life. Really. Yeah, we need elders, co-workers, they are important. Yes, yes, yes. But I like to say, parents and grandparents are more important. Even Paul, the top co-worker, apostle, in the gospel, I have begotten you. You are my children. He spoke to Galatians. He spoke to the Corinthians. The parents should save up for the children and not the other way. He told the Corinthians, I never took advantage of you. I never took anything from you. I pour out everything for you. I'd rather be spent on your behalf. Because I'm parent. That's from the source of or a place of love that I'm talking to you and speaking to you in this way. We need more parents and grandparents. Furthermore, number three, in the work with the students, matters related to marriage and making friends require the teaching and protection of the elderly saints. Even young people don't know how to make friends. It's very important who you make friends with. Friends, especially, you know, at the age, influences them. The social and peer pressure, you know, not easy. And so many are taken out by bad friends, evil companionship, right? Spoils and making wrong friends can just change your life for the worse. How to make friends, right? Lot of things, just a lot of so-called human things, but affects our spiritual life immensely. Four, all these aspects of caring for the new ones are not easy for the young people to undertake. They can't. They don't have the experience. But we do. Okay, number six. In the church life, we need some spiritual fathers to gain and minister the riches of Christ, and some spiritual mothers to feed the saints. Now, there's a whole list of reference verses here. I know they're all quite familiar. They talk about fathers and mothers and so on, spiritual parenting. Please read them again. Please. This is job description, okay? This is old people job description. Get into them. Bring them to the Lord. Evaluate your own service and life by this. And let the Lord take us higher. A, the old ones need to care for the younger ones by watering them and feeding them so that they can grow in life. Cherish and nourish. Water and feed so that they can grow. This is how we have no agenda. We have no ulterior motive in caring for younger people, except they will grow in the Lord and be useful in the Lord's hands in his recovery. B, we can learn from the testimony and example of Brother Eugene Grulo Sr. I have given my testimony too many times about my subjective personal experience with this brother. Although he was neither an elder nor a leader among us, he did a great deal of shepherding. What can I say? Brotherly, you know, at his graveside, remember, he asked, how many of us have been to? Someone said, I asked that question at the funeral. How many have been to Brother Grulo's home for a meal and fellowship? Almost everyone. That's what we need. That's what, I mean, at that time he was 70s or 80s, I don't know. This is in the late 60s, early 70s. One, during the years he was with us, he invited a great many brothers and sisters into his home. Everyone who spent time with him was strengthened and edified. I told you, Brotherly One said, I think in the funeral or some, not in funeral, in his messages, he said he considered Brother Eugene Grulo Sr. his co-worker. Now, if you ask Eugene Grulo Sr., is he a co-worker, he will say, are you kidding? I'm just a old man, I couldn't even speak well. And you know what, Brotherly said? Two things. He always just mentioned two things about him, and I think that's the why Brotherly would categorize him as his co-worker. Number one, he said he prayed for me. Brotherly in those days traveled a lot. Who was praying for Brotherly? This man. Number two, he shepherded the saints. And we now come back to this whole message. Prayer and care. Prayer and shepherding. That's it. That's how we should spend the rest of our lives, brothers and sisters. He did that until he died. I mean, literally the moment he died, he was shepherding a sister, this brother. And I have to believe he was praying. He was still praying. Two, although Brother Gruler never sat on the front row, never, I testify to that. I was there in Eldon Hall. He never even stood up to speak because he could not speak. You know, very heavy German accent, and he's just not a speaker. He was always watchful for new ones and invited them to his home for a meal at the first opportunity. That's what happened to me and many others of my age. The church needs such shepherds today. Brothers and sisters, I think I have spoken enough. I hope there's a new view leading to a new concept here for all of us, how we should be, how we should function, crucially, in the church life as older saints, and that this will inspire you or motivate you to go to the Lord and deal with the Lord regarding this last stage of your journey, right? Lord, what should I do? How should I be? And let the Lord speak to you with the help of the ministry and these words. Let the Lord even supply you and grace you to serve in this way, to serve in this way, right? And as the Lord leads on the matter of prayer, number one, and on the matter of care of people, you will, by yourself, in twos and threes, in your home groups or whatever, or in the church meetings, in the church life, you will really find a new holy lease, a new lease, a holy one in life. I hope this will even affect the Lord's recovery as a whole.